परिजाताय दोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू द भगवद्गीता भक्तिशास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर नाउ इन द 18th chapter, concluding part. We discussed 18.66 yesterday. Let's discuss this in our previous class. Let's discuss it a little bit more and then we'll move forward. So, look at 1866. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. So, mamekam sharanam raja. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary that mam ekam, that me alone, means that it means two things basically. So ekam can refer to mam and it can refer to sharanam also. Ekam sharanam. So that means it refers to that we accept Krishna only as the object of worship and we accept surrender to Krishna only as the means of worship or as the means of spiritual elevation. So in spiritual life there is sadhan and there is sadhya. So, sarvadharman parityajya shekam sharanam. If we take it that way, that means give up all other sadhyas. Sorry, give up all other sadhans. Sadhans is the means and sadhya is the goal. So, give up all other sadhans and accept the only sadhana of bhakti. That is of sharanam, prapadye. And then, mam ekam. When we take it that way, then give up all other sadhyas. Give up moksha. Give up devata upasana, give up paramatma, puja, every other forms of sadhya, whatever may be, give them all up and accept me as the only sadhya. So, this verse conclusively establishes Krishna as the supreme sadhya and bhakti. Bhakti is expressed as surrender, surrender to him as the only sadhana. In this way, this verse brings the whole previous discussion of the Bhagavad Gita to a conclusion. The Bhagavad Gita talks about various sadhyas and various sadhans, and this is a part of the Vedic culture's multi-level form of worship. That means, in the Vedic culture, there are different sadhyas and different sadhanas talked according to the level of different people, but ultimately all the sadhyas and all the sadhanas are meant to help people come to the supreme level, come to the level of pure devotion to the supreme lord, unalloyed devotion to the one supreme lord. So mam ekam sharanam raja. Now, is this sort of statement exclusivist? Exclusivist means that, you know, there are certain religions which say this is the only way and all other ways are false. In fact, they say that by this way alone you can go back to God and by no other way one can go back to God. No, this is not exclusivist, because Krishna is using the word for other paths also as dharman. So he's not rejecting all other paths as false. He's not rejecting all other paths as wrong paths, but they are lower paths. So dharman indicates that they are also religions. They are also paths involving virtue and they lead to elevation. But they don't lead to the fastest or the highest elevation. It is bhakti to Krishna that leads to the fastest and the highest elevation. So that's why Krishna is not being exclusivist. In fact, Krishna has himself delineated different paths and he's acknowledged that different paths lead to destination. So for example, 9.25 says, Yanti Deva Prita Devan. Pitrunyanti Pitravata. So he's saying this path leads to his destination. And going to the devata, abode of the devatas, is also not a small thing. Attaining Swarga is also a very big thing. And from the point of view of material existence, then we can consider how attaining Goloka is such a great thing. So therefore, this is not in any way exclusivist. It is the Vedic culture and the Bhagavad Gita are inclusivist. But inclusivist doesn't mean that there everything is accepted equally. No, not all paths elevate to the same highest destination. So Krishna is telling that this is the best path for you. Other paths are also potent in their own way, but they are not as potent as bhakti. Now, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja also indicates something very important. This, far from being exclusivist, is a universalist declaration. Why? Because dharma can refer to religious formularies. Religious formularies means religious externals associated with religion. So, Krishna is telling that one should not get caught up in external, in religion, externals associated with religion, but rather should focus on the essence, the inner core of the religion. So that means dharma can refer here to the externals, and mam ekam sharanam refers to the internal. So we see the sarvadharman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam raja demonstrated in several places in the Bhagavatam. For example, we see that the yagic brahman patnis, they are having husbands who are brahmanas, and they are in their own way virtuous brahmanas. So in the Vedic culture, the dharma of the patni, of the wife, is to assist the husband. And if the husband is virtuous, then all the more so. So the husbands are doing dharma, they are engaging in yajna, and the wives are meant to assist their husband. If the husband is doing yajna, which is dharma, then why should the wives not assist? But then, if this dharma is not leading to mam ekam sharanam vraja, when Krishna's associates come and say that Krishna wants food, please give us some food, and the brahmanas neglect them, then they go to Krishna's, they go to the yagic brahman's wives. And what do the wives do? They demonstrate. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Give up all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. So the wives give up both their dharma as a wife towards the husband, and the wives give up the dharma also of doing yajna, which is to be done by the husband and wife together. So in general, a wife should be obedient to the husband, and in specific, when the husband is doing a religious ritual which requires the presence of both the husband and the wife, then it's all the more important. But sarva dharman parityajya. So we see this repeatedly in the Bhagavatam, where, for example, Bali Maharaj rejects the instruction of his teacher, who is like a spiritual master for him, that is Shukracharya. So the gopis demonstrate this in the highest degree, where now at least the yagi brahman patnis, they went in the daytime. Now for a woman to go to some other man at night is considered to be scandalous, even according to today's standards. And for a woman, especially in traditional culture, her chastity is considered to be the most valuable asset. It's a treasure for a woman, a chastity. And when a woman considers this to be so valuable, so at that time, actually, for a woman to lose her chastity, or even to lose the good name in society, that means even if the woman does not lose her chastity or does not, but still people start perceiving her as unchaste, that can be a very great disaster for a woman. But the gopis are ready to court that, accept that willingly, and they go against everything else for the sake of Krishna. When Krishna plays his flute and calls the gopis, at that time, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, the gopis give up everything else. They give up the Sri Dharma, they give up even their duty towards their children. Now normally for a woman, taking care of the child is considered a very important duty. Yes, it is important, extremely important. And nobody can take the role of a mother for a child, apart from the mother actually. But still, when the call of Krishna comes, everything else should be given up. So that is what the gopis demonstrate. So it may seem immoral for a woman to go out to meet some other man. But in the case of the Rasleela, the woman is not an ordinary woman and the man is not an ordinary man. The women are the most exalted devotees, the gopis, and the man is the supreme lord. So, therefore, this is not adharma. That means there is aparadharma, there is adharma, and there is paradharma. So, an ordinary woman going towards a man would be going from aparadharma to adharma. That is to be condemned. But the gopis going towards Krishna is that they're giving up aparadharma for paradharma. This is Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Me alone. And this way, what the Bhagavatam demonstrates, what the Bhagavad Gita through this verse demonstrates is, for the sake of Krishna, we should be ready to give up not only the bad of this world, but also the good of this world. The bad of this world means with sinful activities we have to give up. So, that is definitely required. But for the sake of Krishna, even the pious activities of the world, we if it is required, we should be ready to give them up. So, good and bad, because good and bad both are at the material level, whereas Krishna is at the transcendental level. Now, so, in this way, what this demonstrated is that surrender to Krishna is a supreme virtue, and there is no virtue as compared to that. So, all the religious formularies that are there, that means externals that are there, they're important. But what is their importance? Their importance is that it enables us to surrender to Krishna. So same way, we see this point made in the Vishnu Purana in the famous verse, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu Vismartavya Na Jatu Chit Sarva Vidhi Nishedasu Etayoreva Kinkaram. So the purpose of all rules and regulations, Sarva Vidhi Nishedasu, is what? To remember Krishna, to always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna. That is the purpose of all rules and regulations. When one understands this, then one can make steady spiritual advancement. So that same point, that Sarva Dharman Parityajya, give up the externals and focus on the essence. Now, this doesn't mean the externals are unimportant. We cannot say that, okay, I will not chant, I'll just focus on the essence. No, the externals do help us in the essence, no doubt about it. But here when the word dharman is being used, it is being more used in terms of material religiosity. And material religiosity is like, say, doing yajnas or doing other such activities. They are important, but their importance is that they enable us to take shelter of Krishna. And if they don't, then we should be ready to give them up. Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. The gopis demonstrate this when they are searching for Krishna in the Rasleela, and Krishna assumes the form of Vishnu. So when the gopis see Vishnu, they are disappointed and they offer obeisances and they say, oh Lord Vishnu, please tell us, where is Krishna? This is Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Surrender to me alone, to nobody else. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that we should become attracted to the beautiful form of Krishna. And this attraction to the beautiful form of Krishna is the supreme perfection of life. Actually, when we become attracted thus to Krishna, Prabhupada says one should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. The beautiful vision of Krishna. So, Krishna is known as Krishna and is all attractive. So, Prabhupada concludes by, so here he is saying, he is establishing how Krishna is the supreme sadhya, and there are different kinds of sadhyas. They are all of here Prabhupada mentions there are different kinds of transcendentalists, and they are attracted to different things, but those who are attracted to Krishna are the topmost transcendentalists. And then Prabhupada talks about different sadhans also. Karma yogis, empirical philosophers, mystic are all transcendentalists, but one who is a pure devotee is the best among them all. So here Krishna is, Prabhupada is mentioning that the supreme sadhya and the supreme sadhan are Krishna and pure devotion to Krishna. And now this may involve extraordinary amount of sacrifice. So ma shuchaha means do not fear, do not hesitate. So in this world we may have to, whatever we have in this world that gives us some sense of security and shelter. So, it may be our material status, our job, our relationships. In fact, even if a person is doing something very bad, suppose somebody is drinking. Now, that drinking is causing, drinking alcohol is causing a lot of suffering to the alcoholic. But even within that alcoholism, the alcoholic gets some sense of security. It's a pseudo-security. Pseudo-security means that what one is getting from there is not supreme happiness. It is not even a stable happiness, let alone supreme happiness. But still, when a person drinks, because one has done the drinking repeatedly and there is a routine, there is some familiarity involved in it. that, okay, I'm doing something which I have done again and again. And there may be a little pleasure after me, there is a lot of trouble, but one gets some security over there. So, even in the bad things that we do, sometimes some security comes over there, because we're just, we are repeating some familiar routine that we have done again and again. And that is not the perfection, purpose of life. And that sort of pseudo, that is pseudo security. So Krishna is telling us, Mahashuchaha, that means give up pseudo security and accept the real security. The real security is the security that comes by surrender to Krishna. Because Krishna is the supreme protector. Now he is, he can offer us a protection which nobody else can offer us in the world. Because he is supreme and he is supremely loving. You know, generally if you want protection, if the person is very strong, then that person can protect us. But then that person may be strong, but the person may be unconcerned about us. Krishna is strong, supremely strong, and he is supremely caring. He is supremely loving. Therefore, Ma Shuchaha. So we feel fear, because surrender involves giving up some things. But actually what we are giving up is our sources of pseudo security. In this world, there may be very many sources of security, but they are all, from the ultimate point of view, they are pseudo-secret. Deha patya kalatradishu atma sanyesha satsvapi esham pramatto adhinam dhanam pashyan apina pashyati. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami begins his instructions by telling that actually, he says that people have various sources of security in this world. Deha apatya kalatradishu, that we have the deha, our own body, he says, you know, whatever happens, some people have very strong muscles, they say, I'll beat up people. Or even if they don't have strong muscles, people learn self-defense. They may learn karate or judo or something like that and think, okay, by this I'll be able to fight with us. So deha apatya kalatra adishu. So wife is there, the relatives are there, the spouse is there, and then through all these we get some security. Atma sainyeshu, one thing, these are my protectors, these are my sena. So I am a warrior and this is my sena, and with this sena I am going to protect myself. Asat swapi, but all of them are temporary. None of them can give us permanent protection. Tesham pramatto anidhanam pashyan apina pashyati. When one sees the destruction of all this, one sees the futility of all this ultimately, but still one holds on to this. This is pashyan apina pashyati. This is seeing but not seeing. So Krishna doesn't want us to stay in illusion like this. He doesn't want us to suffer in this kind of pseudo-security. I mean, pseudo-security actually causes uncertainty, because we feel that this is going to be provide me some safety, but we are not sure whether it will provide me safety or not. So Krishna is telling us, do not fear. You know, do not think that when you take shelter of me, I will not protect you. I will definitely protect you. Ma Shuchaha. So, when we are giving up the material things for Krishna's sake, we have to understand that what we are giving up is far, far tiny as compared to what we are going to get. And there might be a pseudo-security that is like a drop of water in a desert. But what Krishna is, the security that Krishna is going to offer us is like an ocean. It's immense. It is completely satisfying. So, that's what we should aspire for in our life. And how do we take shelter of Krishna? We discussed earlier, primarily by anukulyasya sankalpa and pratikulyasya varjanam. Surrender is not passive. Okay, Krishna, I surrender to you. Yes, that's one way of surrender. When we can't do anything, then we depend on Krishna. But Krishna has also given us intelligence, and he wants us to use the intelligence in his service. So, we use our intelligence to think about, okay, what is favorable for my bhakti? What should I do in this situation? What should I not do in this situation? So Srila Prabhupada is always surrendered to Krishna, but at the same time, Srila Prabhupada is always dynamic, trying to find out what is the best way I can serve Krishna. So should I, so Prabhupada was thinking, should I write books, should I write magazines, should I start an institution, should I go to America? So Prabhupada is devising new strategies for serving Krishna. And that is the mood of a devotee, that let me always serve Krishna, and Sharanam Vraja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja is not passive, it is active. In fact, it is dynamic. Okay, how, in this situation, how can I surrender to Krishna? So sometimes it may mean taking up a new project, doing a new service. And sometimes it may mean persevering in the same service no matter how many difficulties come up. So how do we decide that? That will be our sincerity. Dhami buddhi yogam tam. When we are sincerely serving Krishna, when we show him that, Krishna, I want to serve you, please guide me, then he will give us the guidance about how to act. And then, of course, we can consult senior devotees and then take the guidance also about how we should act. But this is Mahashuchaha. So now, with this, more or less Krishna has completed the Bhagavad Gita. And then he starts giving us the Phala Shruti. In the Vedic literature in general, at the end of a particular book, the Phala Shruti is given. That means, after hearing this, what will be the benefit that is going to come? Or rather, what is the glory of this book in terms of hearing, in terms of speaking it? So Krishna will talk about the glory in three terms. Now, first is, in 67, we will talk about these glories one by one. Let's look. First, Krishna talks about his glory by talking about this, the confidentiality of this knowledge, how this knowledge is very rare and precious. So let's look at that. So idam tena tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushave vachyam na cha mamyo abhisuyate. So idam tena tapaskaya. So Krishna is telling, Arjuna, don't tell this knowledge to these categories of people. Na tapaskaya. Tapkaya is body. Tapaskaya, tapas is austerity. So those who do not perform austerities, so those who are unaustere. And na bhaktaya kadachana, and don't speak it to a bhaktaya, don't speak to the devotees. Nacha shushrushave vacham. Ashushrushave, that means those who are not engaged in service. So shushrushave especially refers to service, but the bhaktaya refers to the attitude of devotion, whereas the shushrushave refers to the activity of service. Nachamam yo abhyasuyati, and certainly don't speak it to abhyasuyati, those who are envious. So what is the reason for this kind of words? Now we may think that, okay, don't speak to those who are non-austere, those who are not devoted, those who don't do service, those who are non-envious. You may say, then who's left? There's no one left. Practically all people have some envy towards Krishna. How many people in this world are engaged in service to Krishna? So how many people are actually doing austerities? What is the meaning of this verse? So actually, there are multiple understandings of this. First and foremost, we understand that Krishna is referring here to the most confidential knowledge that he has given. See, in general, people can understand according to their adhikar. So Krishna has told over here a few verses earlier, in 63 and 64, he has 64 especially says, I am now giving the most confidential knowledge. Sarva guhyatamam bhuyaha, most confidential knowledge. So, you know, a parent, a father may have a very precious treasury, some very rare and precious jewels, which the father keeps deep inside the treasury and doesn't tell anyone about that. Now, when the children are there, the children are going to get inheritance from the father, and they know, okay, this is the inheritance. But there may be some very special treasure that the father doesn't tell to the children at all. Why? Because the father, that treasure is so precious that the father wants the children to grow up. When the children grow up, then when they get a treasure, they will not squander it away. They will use it properly. So, they will use it properly. So, he wants the children to grow up and then he will tell them about the treasure. So, similarly, when the souls who are not grown up, they are tiny. They know they don't understand the glory of Krishna and his love. They are caught up in petty things. And they have envy towards Krishna. So they have these attributes. They're not serving Krishna. They're not austere because they're caught up in petty, trivial, worldly things. Just like children, the father has got a multi-million dollar business and the children are caught up in playing marbles. So, father says, come on, grow up now. Grow up. You can inherit this whole business. I've got it all for you. So, the father doesn't want to hide the business. But the children are just caught in playful, trivial things and are not growing up. And if they take a big amount of money and just squander it away carelessly, then it is a great tragedy. Sometimes when parents work very hard and make inheritance, and sometimes the parents have to, even when they want to hand over the inheritance to children, sometimes they make laws by which they say, you know, this inheritance, it's my children's only, but they will not get it immediately. Every year they will get only this much amount, and each year this much amount, and they cannot withdraw more than this much amount from the inheritance, because they cannot trust the responsibility of the how much responsibility the children have inculcated. So similarly, Krishna here wants to give the supreme treasure. Krishna's greatest blessing is Krishna himself. All the other blessings can give us some temporary happiness, but when Krishna gives himself to us, that means he reveals his all attractiveness, and we become attracted by him and choose to love him. Then in that there is supreme happiness. So this is the greatest blessing that Krishna wants to give us. But when we are caught up with worldly things, which are like toys, then when our infatuation with worldly things doesn't allow us to value Krishna and pure devotion to Krishna. So that's why the parent wants the child to grow up. And when the children grow up, then the parent reveals the supreme treasure. So like that, Krishna wants the souls to grow up. And therefore those who are envious, those who are non-austere, those who are non-devotees, Krishna doesn't want to reveal this to them. But then still he has spoken the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada writes at the start of the Bhagavad Gita itself, and the Bhagavad Gita is spoken in public. That means the idea is, everybody can hear it. So if Krishna wants something to be kept confidential, then why is he spoken in it public? No, in a battlefield where there are soldiers on both sides, so they are all there observing. So what does it mean? Actually, it essentially means that Krishna wants this knowledge to be given to everyone, but still he wants them to grow up and understand it. So, you know, when the father is feeling great love for the children, and at that time, see, one of the child has pleased the father very much, and the father takes the child to the inner treasury and opens the treasury and shows those precious jewels. He says, "This is what I meant for you. This is what I want to give you." And the father starts thinking, "Hey, don't tell all this to your other brothers, to your other brothers and sisters." Now that doesn't mean that that treasure is not meant for the other brothers and sisters. It is also meant for them, but right now they are not mature enough. Similarly, Krishna is telling Arjuna, "I have told you this. I am sarva goyitamam bhuya, most confidential knowledge I have given you. That doesn't, but don't tell this to others." That means, don't, as it is said in the biblical tradition, don't throw pearls before a swine. A swine is a pig. A pig is interested only in stool. So if pearls are thrown before a swine, then it cannot understand. What is a pearl? No value. So like that, Krishna's love, it can give us grant eternal happiness. It is a supreme pearl, supreme jewel. But those people who are not spiritually evolved enough, they cannot understand its value. And they will devalue it, they will reject it, they will not care for it. And they will commit offenses to Krishna because of that. That's why this, the purpose is not to hide when Krishna is telling, don't tell it to all these people. Purpose is to encourage people to grow up and then to give them when they have grown up. So this knowledge, idam tena, idam refers not to the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita has karma yoga, it has jnana yoga. Yes, these knowledges can be told to, atma jnana can also be told to everyone. But the knowledge of Krishna's love, intimate knowledge, especially the knowledge of sarva dharman parityajamam ekam sharanam vraj. Now this, the envious people may think that Krishna is, what is he demanding? You know, you surrender only to me, don't do anything else. This may seem like Krishna is arrogant. But actually Krishna is not arrogant. Krishna is supremely sweet. He is transcendent. And he is transcendent. And as being transcendent, his love is beyond our perception, our normal worldly perceptions and conceptions. So if we drag our normal worldly conceptions and perceptions, then we will think that Krishna is arrogant. So because we have to grow up spiritually to understand Krishna and understand the pure and exalted nature of his love for all of us, so there is a restriction. Don't speak this to everyone. But as the soul grows up, as a person grows up, then Krishna wants to reveal everyone to everyone also. So the idea of restriction and revelation is not deprivation, but it is it is growth, it is evolution, it is not to increase, it is not to cause deprivation, but it is to stimulate evolution. Let the persons grow up, and when they grow up, then they can learn truly. So just like a parent doesn't want to hide the treasure, but want the children to grow up, then they can gain the treasure. Similarly, Krishna wants the souls to grow up, and then they will learn the treasure. And then, Prabhupada, that's why Prabhupada explains in the previous verse that, in this verse itself, yeah. Prabhupada writes, without understanding Krishna from the authority of a pure devotee, one should not try to comment upon the Bhagavad Gita. So one cannot, Krishna is saying, don't even speak this to others, or the non-devotees. So what to speak of non-devotees? Commenting on the Gita, that is not at all appropriate. Now Krishna in the next two verses will talk about how he wants this knowledge to be shared, but through proper channels. Yaidam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu abhidasyati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishyatya samshayah. So yaidam paramam guhyam, this paramam guhyam, the supremely confidential knowledge, the supreme confidential knowledge, mad bhakteshu abhidasyati, speak it to my devotees. And if you do this, bhaktim mai param kritva, you will be able to perform para bhakti, transcendental devotion to me. And by that, what will happen? Mam evaishyatya samshayah, you will definitely come back to me. Mam evaishyatya, you will definitely come back to me. Asamshayah. So now here there are many significant words. Here he is saying, bhaktim mai param kritva. So param kritva, param is transcendental. Now Krishna has used para bhakti, this phrase, once more in a very significant place in 18.54. In 18.54, Krishna talks about Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. So mad bhaktim labhate param, Krishna has said that. That means, Krishna is saying, when does one get parabhakti? After one comes to the Brahman platform, after one becomes completely equipoised towards everything material, then one gets parabhakti. But Krishna is telling, if we just share this message, share this knowledge of bhakti with everyone, then what will happen? We will get parabhakti. Krishna is guaranteeing that. Bhakti mai param kritva, you will be attaining para, you will be performing pure devotional service to me, and at the end, mame vaishatya asamshayah, without any doubt you will come back to me. So we will do the supreme good to others, that is, we will be giving them the knowledge of pure devotion, and at the end will come back to me. So the way Srila Prabhupada has taught us, for us, preaching is not just preaching is a part of our sadhana. You know, we are not pure devotees right now. We are sadhakas who are trying to go towards pure devotion. But even while we are going towards that, still we can share Krishna consciousness with others. So for us, preaching is a part of our outreach. That means, preaching is a part of our outreach. It's a part of our sadhana also. So by preaching, we will become purified. That means, when we speak about Krishna, it pleases Krishna, and Krishna blesses us with advanced devotion. So we shouldn't hesitate in preaching about Krishna, thinking that, oh, I don't have so many realizations, I am not so advanced. Actually speaking, as compared to Kali Yuga's level of understanding of people, most people have no knowledge at all. As compared to that, even a devotee who has spent a few years in Krishna consciousness has tremendous knowledge. And when we share, our understanding deepens. And then, as our understanding deepens, we can understand. We can share the deepened understanding. So we have to begin somewhere. So Krishna is, first in the previous verse he says, don't share this with everyone. But then he is saying, those who share it, actually they are very dear to me. And they are performing pure devotional service. And they will perform pure devotional service by my mercy. And then they will come back to me also. So now, ya idam par mad bhakteshu abhidhasyati, Krishna is telling, speak this to my devotees. Now what does it mean, my devotees? See, again, the idam is referring to the confidential knowledge about devotion. this should be spoken to my devotees. So here the word devotees refers to upcoming devotees, those who are devotionally minded. So we speak about Krishna's, we cannot speak about Krishna's love to entirely new people. They can't comprehend it only. People who don't even know God exists, if we tell them God is a bluish complexion, cowherd boy who wears a peacock feather, they'll say, what nonsense, it's mythology, they will say. So for them, we have to go step by step, explain the existence of God, existence of soul. So that's what Srila Prabhupada did in his preaching. Srila Prabhupada gave people experience of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names, but then in his classes, he focused on basics. And then for devotees, he also, you know, he gave his Bhagavatam purports, he gave his Chaitanya Charitamrita and translation and purports, he gave his Krishna book, so by which he told Krishna's glories to us. So we have to talk with people according to their level and bring them to Krishna closer and closer. So even new people at ultimate level, they are also devotees, they are potential devotees, because they are also souls who also have within them dormant an attraction to Krishna. So if we see them as potential devotees and attract them towards Krishna, then also we are doing a very valuable service in furthering Krishna's message reach to more and more people. So basically when Krishna is telling over here that mad bhakteshu abhidhasati, that basically is not a restriction, again it is a precaution to present according to the level of people. Yes. Okay, for this level we have to present. So for those who are bhaktas, that means those who are devotionally minded, for them to hear the glory of Krishna and the beauty of Krishna and the sublimity of Krishna's love, that will increase their attraction to Krishna more and more. And that's how they will come closer and closer to Krishna. So similarly, for those who are entirely new to Krishna, for them just entirely new to spirituality itself, they're talking about basics will be important. The whole idea is there's a progression. And Krishna wants everyone to come closer and closer to Him. And He guides everyone according to their level. And he wants us to progress in the knowledge according to their level. So by speaking about Krishna to those who are devotionally minded, we can please Krishna, we can benefit those people, we can please Krishna, and we can accelerate our own spiritual advancement. So Srila Prabhupada was always concerned that devotees don't just do their own sadhana, but reach out to other people. And now in the next verse, Krishna will tell very strongly that one should, what happens to those who are those who share His message. He expresses how dear they are to Him in the next verse further. But in this verse also, another point to understand is, when we talk about Krishna's intimate glories, for example, Krishna's past intimate pastime, like say, is Raslila pastimes, where the gopis demonstrate Sarvadharman Parityajamam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Where the gopis give up lower level of religion to practice the highest level of religion. So this kind of practice is extraordinary. And the gopis do this, they can be very easily misunderstood. And they have been misunderstood. Krishna's pastimes have been considered very immoral by many people. So to counter this misconception about immorality, we need systematic education. And therefore, we cannot have like triple integral calculus taught to a junior kid, to a kindergarten student. Similarly, we cannot have advanced levels of devotional knowledge talk to people who are very new. So Srila Prabhupada gave us the highest goal prema of Krishna, Goloka prema, but then he gave it systematically. In his books, he talks about basic concepts and gradually removes our misconception and helps us to come to the knowledge about Krishna in a proper and pure way. So now Krishna will talk about further how dear those who love Him are to Him. Nachitasman manusheshu kashchin me priyakrittamaha bhavita nachame tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. So nachitasman manusheshu, so among all people, among human beings, so in the Vedic culture, manushya is often used in a inclusive sense. It refers to men as well as women. Nara also refers to in the generic sense as males and females both. So among all human beings, kashchin me priyakrittamaha, there is no one who will be more dear to me than this. Bhavita nachame tasmad, and bhavita, in the future, anya priyataro bhuvi, in this world, will anyone be more dear to me? So sometimes So Krishna is telling, such a person is most dear to me. There is no one more dear. So that means, what is Krishna telling over here? That how dear is such a person to him. And sometimes, you know, we may become overcome by sentiment and say, you know, I love you so much, I'll do anything for you. And then in that moment we tell, and then that person asks, can you do this for me? No, I can't do that for you. Afterwards we tell like that. So Krishna is saying that don't think my declaration is sentimental like this. He's saying, Bhavitajnam chame tasmat, that even in the future there'll become no one more dear to me than you. That means Krishna is telling, this is a guarantee for all time. For all time, one who shares his message with others will be very, very dear to him. So here Krishna is revealing how eager he is for all the lost souls to come back to him, and how grateful he feels to those who assist him in getting those souls back to him. The same Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is having the fruits of love of God. When he comes to Kashi, he says, I came to Kashi to distribute the fruits of love of God, but actually people are not interested. People there were all impersonalists, and they were not interested. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, I am carrying so many fruits, how can I carry them alone? So I want some people to distribute this with me. And he says, actually people are not taking, so I will give it free, just accept it. And not just accept it, just help me in distributing it. So similarly, Krishna is telling over here that one who assists me and distributing this knowledge is so dear to me. There will be no one who is more dear to me than this. It's most dear to me. So now, of course, the superlative is also qualified. When Krishna is saying there is no one more dear to me, what does it mean? That means there can be many people who are as dear to him. So actually, when we go into the spiritual realm, there can be many bests. There is not only one best. So we shouldn't think that the preachers are more dear to Krishna than other devotees. And if we have been given some other service, if we have a service of cooking, garland making, deity worship, and we are not doing preaching, then we shouldn't think that we are less dear to Krishna. Actually, everybody is dear to Krishna, no doubt. But at the same time, those who are trying to reach out to Krishna directly, those who have that spirit of reaching out to Krishna, they're special. In an army, if army has to function, it's not just the soldiers who are fighting on the war front. They comprise the army. Along with that, there are the backup staff. The army needs food. They need cooks who cook the food. The army needs doctors who take care of the sick patient, of the soldiers who get wounded, or the soldiers who fall sick. And they need intelligence. So they need technology, they need spies, they need so much support is needed. So all of them are serving the nation in a very valuable way. All of them are sacrificing. So all of them are in their own way glorious. Now of course, those who are on the war front, the fighting, actually risking their lives, maybe facing the first bullets, they are in one sense specially glorious. But the point is, it's all a teamwork. So nobody should claim privilege and become proud because of one's own specific service. So that way, every service to Krishna is special and precious. And whatever service we are doing, we are fortunate to have the opportunity to serve Krishna and be a part of the team that is executing Krishna's mission of compassion in this world. So yes, those who are at the front line sharing Krishna's message with people, they are fighting the misconceptions that are there in this world, challenging and countering those misconceptions. Yes, we can say they are special. But those who are doing this, they shouldn't think that I am doing something special. You think actually I am a servant of Krishna, they are servants of Krishna. And ultimately what Krishna sees is how much of a service attitude I have developed. So what is important is for me to have a service attitude, and I try to develop that as much as possible, and by that I move closer and closer to Krishna. So beyond this, another point to recognize is preaching also, we should not have a very restrictive definition. Preaching is not just sitting on an asana and speaking classes. Yes, that is preaching, definitely. But in a broad sense, preaching means inspiring other souls to come towards Krishna. So in the Christian tradition, there is a great Saint Francis. So one time he said, preach all day, and on a few occasions when required, speak a few words. So the idea is that preaching doesn't mean just giving lectures. Yes, that is also one part. But then our actions are also preaching. And our actions along with our words, they comprise the effective preaching. So people have to see that we are transformed, that we are devoted to Krishna and we are concerned about other living beings. And when people see that, then they become attracted to Krishna. As it is says, people don't care how much we know, but people know how much we care. So we should know about Krishna, and then along with that, we should also care about people, because they are the souls who are Krishna's beloved children, lost children, and we have the opportunity to help them to come back to Krishna. So we help, we value the souls as parts of Krishna and help them to connect with Krishna. So our actions are also important. So preaching is not just speaking about Krishna. Any action that inspires the soul to come closer to Krishna is preaching. And it is valuable, it is important, it is essential. And preaching at a deeper level also means removing the obstacles on the path of people to come to Krishna. That means, first is we create, we act in such a way by which people who have forgotten Krishna, they can come closer to Krishna. So we speak about Krishna, that is preaching. Other is we act in such a way, oh, these people, these devotees, they are really good people. I want to become like them. So we inspire people also come to closer to Krishna. Another level of preaching is removing the misconceptions that stop people from coming towards Krishna. So for example, Srila Prabhupada would say that, you know, by refuting atheism, refuting atheistic theories, like say the theory of evolution, the Prabhupada said, by refuting this, you will make spiritual advancement. So what is the idea over there? The idea is that this particular the atheistic notion or other atheistic notion in general, they form a wall between the soul and Krishna. So now preaching doesn't just mean speaking about Krishna, that is just there, but preaching also means breaking down that wall. So there are, so if we see most of Srila Prabhupada's purports, they focus a lot on countering misconceptions. They focus on telling, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, we should give it up. And in this way, by removing misconceptions, Prabhupada helps people to come closer to Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada's purports, what are they doing? They are bringing people closer to Krishna, not just by speaking about Krishna, but also by speaking about what are the misconceptions that people have, the misconceptions that form a wall between people and Krishna, and breaking down those misconceptions. So there can be intellectual misconceptions, but there can be other obstacles also in people coming closer to Krishna. So removing those obstacles are also important. So that is also preaching. So for example, creating a social support system for devotees, you know, having counseling arrangements, having marriage bureau, having other social support systems, these are also a part of preaching, because there are material things which devotees need in their life, and if those material things are not taken care of, then for those material things people may have to go away from Krishna. For those material things, people may have to go away from Krishna. So we shouldn't want people shouldn't need to go away from Krishna for anything. And we should be able to create within the devotee community arrangements by which people can keep coming closer and closer to Krishna. So where they are, wherever people may be, preaching doesn't mean just getting new people to start chanting Hare Krishna. No, preaching means helping everyone to move closer to Krishna from wherever they are. So if somebody is not knowing Krishna at all, helping them to come to know Krishna, that is preaching. But somebody knows Krishna, to help them to know Krishna more, to help them to advance deeper in their devotional life, in their relationship with Krishna, that is also preaching. So therefore, at a generic level, anything that removes obstacles and inspires soul to come closer to Krishna is preaching. And just like in army, any activity that is done to support the army's endeavor, that is preaching. Along with that, the army's frontline soldiers who fight the war, they are special. So those who are actually sharing Krishna's message by speaking about Krishna's glories, they have a special position. But that should not make them proud. That should actually make them feel the gravity of the responsibility that they have. Now, we have been given this responsibility. It is important for us to share this, to execute this responsibility. So with this mood, when a devotee shares Krishna consciousness, it is such a precious asset. And we can see from these two verses, we can think about how glorious Srila Prabhupada is and how dear he will be to Krishna. That Prabhupada in his old age, when without any money, without any contacts, without any institutional support, all alone went to America, risking his life, enduring heart attacks, and went to the most degraded place in the world and shared Krishna's message vigorously. Prabhupada, all day and all night, he would be speaking about Krishna. All day he would speak about Krishna to people who came to meet him, and all night he was speaking about Krishna to people who didn't come to meet him by writing books which would reach to those people. So Srila Prabhupada is so dear to Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada is the greatest example of a devotee of Krishna who is utterly dedicated to sharing Krishna's message. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we got Bhagavad Gita as it is. We understood the devotional essence of Bhagavad Gita, and we can share that essence with others. So now Krishna is giving a descending ladder of mercy. So he's saying, okay, now that you've known the message, share this message. You will become very dear to me. Somebody may say, oh, but you know, sharing this message is very complicated. I can't do all that. Then Krishna says, if you can't do that, then at least study the message. So the next verse will tell, at least study the message. So let's look at this verse now. So, adeshyate chaya imam dharmyam samvadam avayo jnana yagyena tenaham ishtasyamiti me matihi. So, Krishna is saying, adeshyate. Adeshyate means to study. Chaya imam, one who studies this knowledge, dharmyam samvadam avayo. So, this is a samvad about dharma. Now, it's interesting. Krishna has earlier only told sarva dharman parityajya. He says the conclusion of the samvad is to give up dharma. But then why is Krishna calling it as a dharmyam samvadam? That it is a dharmic conversation. Because there is aparadharma and there is paradharma. So Krishna is telling that this is a conversation about dharma, about various levels of dharma and what is the supreme dharma. Dharmyam samvadam avayo. Avayo means between us. So then, such people who study, one who studies this, what is that person doing? Jnana yagyena tenaham. Jnana yagya. Jnana yagya is the worship of knowledge or worship by knowledge. Tenaham. By tena is by that person. Aham is I. Ishtasyam iti me mati. By him, I am being worshipped through jnana. Ishta. Ishta is worshipped. Syama means shall be or is. Is being worshipped. Iti me matihi. This is my opinion. So what does this mean? Krishna is describing how devotional an activity study of the Bhagavad Gita is. Many people think that, okay, Bhagavad Gita is a very philosophical book. We are rasik bhaktas. So, you know, we will study. We will relish the pastime in the Bhagavatam. We will relish the pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrit. We don't want to be jnanis. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is not for jnanis. Bhagavad Gita is for bhaktas. And Krishna is telling that studying the knowledge of the message of the Bhagavad Gita is what? It is a form of bhakti. It is a form of worship. Generally, when we do aarti, when we do worship of Krishna, we may take a diya, we may take a agarbatti, we may incense, and we will worship Krishna with that. So Krishna is telling that don't think that worship can be performed only with a torch, only with a lamp and incense. He says worship can be performed with not just gross paraphernalia, but also subtle paraphernalia. Subtle paraphernalia is our own intelligence. So when we study the Bhagavad Gita, we are worshipping Krishna with our intelligence. So it is a very devotional activity. And it is a limb of bhakti. It is an integral part of bhakti. Krishna is saying different people may have different opinions. Some people may say this is jnana or whatever. No, iti me mati. And his opinion is the supreme opinion because he is the supreme lord. So by studying the Bhagavad Gita, we are worshipping Krishna. But of course, we also should have a devotional disposition. There may be scholars who study the Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly. But if their disposition is anti-devotional, that means they think, oh, they come to the Bhagavad Gita not with an open-minded attitude of knowing what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching, of wanting to know what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Rather, they come to the Bhagavad Gita with a preconceived notion. Yes, the impersonal Brahman is the highest, and that's what I want to prove with the Bhagavad Gita. Then that sort of study is not having a, it's not having a devotional mindset. So they don't intend to worship Krishna, and that's why their study doesn't constitute worship of Krishna. That sort of misinterpretation of the Bhagavad Gita is undesirable. Prabhupada would strongly condemn that. And Krishna has also talked about this. He has talked about it in 3.32. He says, Sarvajnana vimudham stvam vidhinashtana chetasa yetvetad abhyasanto nanatishtanti mematam. So he says that those who are envious of me, ettetad abhyasuyanto, those envious of me, they may have a lot of jnana. Sarvajnana vimudham stvam. Their jnana is lost, they are deluded because they are vidhinashtan achetasa, they are misdirected. So Krishna is not talking about academic scholars or or other kinds of scholars who misinterpret the Bhagavad Gita or who study the Bhagavad Gita with their own agenda. But devotees who study the Bhagavad Gita to understand it more and more, to understand it deeply, they are actually worshipping Krishna with their intelligence. So it's a very devotional activity. And what we are doing in the Bhakti Shastri course, studying the Bhagavad Gita, this is actually a very central limb of Bhakti. And by this we will understand how much Krishna loves us, and our desire to love Krishna will increase. And in this way, our Bhakti will be nourished. So explicitly, by understanding how Krishna is so loving, our love for him will increase. And implicitly, because bhakti itself is a form of service to Krishna, we are worshipping Krishna, we are doing archanam in a way. By we are actually worshipping Krishna with our intelligence, that action will also nourish our bhakti. And in this way, by studying the Bhagavad Gita, we will move forward in our devotional understanding. Now Krishna will say that, okay, in the next verse, let us see what he says. If you can't study, then at least hear. Shraddhavan anasu yascha shrunudyadapi yonaraha sopi muktaha shubhal lokan prapnuyat punya karmanam. So, shraddhavan anasu yascha shraddhavan, with faith, and anasu yascha, without envy. Shunuyad, just hear. Those who hear, apyonara, those human beings who hear, sopi muktaha, those people will become liberated. From what? Ashubha, lokan, inauspicious planets. Prapnuyat punya karmanam. And they will attain the abodes which are attained by those who are punya karmanam, those who do punya karma. So here what is Krishna doing? Krishna is making things even easier for us. So in 68-69 he said, okay, now you understood my message, preach this message to everyone. And he says, if you can't preach, 70 says, study at least. He says, if you can't study scrutinizingly, at least hear this message. It's like, you know, somebody's fallen in a well, and somebody throws a rope from outside. And that person says, okay, now hold on to the rope and climb out of it. He says, oh, I can't climb out. And then he says, okay, just hold on to the rope, I will pull you out. Somebody says, oh no, I can't do that. And then that person takes a rope and then ties it up and makes a lasso around it. And then he says, just tie this rope and just be still, I will pull you out. So like that, Krishna is offering increasing mercy. He says, first speak this message, share with others. You can't do that, study it. If you can't study it, at least hear it. So here we see how eager Krishna is for our elevation, that he is offering us more and more mercy. And our acharyas explain over here that when Krishna is saying over here, mukta subha loka. So this is not referring just to going to swarga, prapya punya karmanam. So yes, one can go to swarga even by doing any form of yoga, but he is talking about elevated abode like dhruva loka. So in Dhruva Loka, Dhruva is a pure devotee and the Lord Vishnu is also present. Although this abode is in the material world, it is almost like the spiritual world. And there, in the association of Dhruva Maharaj and the other exalted devotees over there, the devotee will advance and will ultimately get liberated. So here we see Krishna is offering multiple levels of worship and is encouraging us to somehow or the other connect with his exalted message, and thereby advance in devotion and return back to him. So in the next section we will discuss Krishna's last statement, and then Arjuna's response, and then Sanjaya's concluding verses. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.